Hello, everyone. This is Al with the CCW Podcast.
Guys, he's here too, everybody.
Hi, welcome to episode 7. Don't know the name of this one yet, but wanted to get something out there because we have some exciting news. We've the overwhelming demand. I think we have over 1,000 downloads so far, about 1,200 or something. So it's been pretty amazing. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for keep coming back to listen to other episodes. I just wanted to maybe start out with talking about why I started this podcast and why we started this podcast. And there's really just a couple of reasons. You know, number one, it's something that I was very passionate about and really just wanted to, you know, touch and base with other people and meet other people who kind of have the same feelings and maybe didn't know where to start and didn't know how to even go about doing and getting your carry permit. When I started, I had no idea, and I kind of had to research everything on my own because when I started, I didn't have anyone I knew who really was into this. And if you're kind of like that, I'm kind of glad you found this, and hopefully you're getting something out of this. But another reason...
That first point kind of leads into the second, which is that no one that's close to us pretty much knows that we have an interest or that Al carries, and you kind of have a need to talk about it, but when you don't have people, you have to find that outlet.
Right. I think the second reason for me is that, you know, no one really does know, and we keep it private to, the people we interact with day to day. We do have one family that we're close to that we go shooting with from time to time, and they're pretty much the only ones that know in the area. So I think that keeping it private thing is kind of also caused in me a need to kind of vocalize it to someone or someone. You know, sometimes there's a line in that movie, The Negotiator, that movie with Kevin Spacey and Samuel Jackson, that says, sometimes if you can't trust your friends, you trust a stranger. So... I guess I'm trusting you all with this information. So, and the last reason I think we started this podcast is to kind of just work on my verbal skills. You know, I mean, Dagny asked me, "Well, why don't you just start a blog?" And I just said, "Well, I don't know. I don't read a lot of blogs. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to a lot of podcasts at work. So, I'm a big fan of the podcast community and." Particularly the gun-related podcasts, and I guess I wanted to be part of the club there in terms of, having a voice and practicing and speaking and kind of giving back to the gun podcast community. And I also feel like I can provide a different type of perspective from the podcasts that are out there, particularly with Dagny's input. We get a female perspective, and we're both still kind of new to this whole thing, but I just want to say thank you. I think my voice cracked there a little bit.
He's that excited.
Thanks, everyone. I mean, we upgraded the podcast. The last podcast kind of pushed the bandwidth level to move back a little bit. My podcast host service limits the amount of traffic I can, currently provide at a... what I thought was a very sizable limit. I didn't think in my wildest dreams that we'd hit the limit the first month I started this show. But we did towards the end of our first month, to the point where people couldn't download anymore. And I had over 100 people try to download episodes that were unable to, until my bandwidth limit reset itself earlier this month in February. So, I can't believe that because we haven't advertised this podcast. I haven't, other than just putting it up and putting it into iTunes, I haven't told a soul about it. So thank you for finding it on your own. But in exciting news, we did upgrade our account through our podcast hosting service. So we're now professionals, as they call it. And they'll the limits are much, much greater. So I believe that bandwidth limit won't be a problem for the foreseeable future.
And this should hopefully let us be able to maybe do more podcasting. You know?
I was sort of pacing myself because there was that, you know, I didn't want to put any financial investment into this before I really knew where it was going. And I guess I still don't, but I finally did put some financial investment into this just out of necessity. It seems like a lot of people wouldn't get to download the podcast, and that would be unfortunate. But we're doing that, and our overall storage limit has, you know, multiplied quite a few times, and then the bandwidth also has really I think almost 10 times over now larger. So it's really good. So hopefully you guys will stay tuned, and there will be no more download problems. As always, if there are any problems or comments or concerns, feel free to email us at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. And I also, Dagny wanted me to point out that we do have a blog of sorts. If you go to ccwshow.blogspot.com, ccwshow.blogspot.com, there's a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a full-blown blog, but I do put up episodes there. You can stream it there if you don't want to download it. And, you know, I occasionally, the bandwidth limit problem I posted about there, and you know, other information. You could also go to my Podomatic page. That's ccwpodcast.podomatic.com. That's P-O-D-M-A-T-I-C. And that's just the podcast page, but you can also leave comments there. You can leave comments on the Blogspot page as well. If you have any questions on that or need specifics, email me, ccwpodcast@gmail.com. But I think that's enough of the early information stuff. Thank you again for listening, everyone. It's been awesome. Questions and emails are coming in, so please feel free to keep on emailing us. But to the substantive topics, you want to talk a little bit about what happened?
If you've listened to all the different podcasts, you know that I have been kind of searching for something for myself to eventually carry. I haven't taken the class yet or anything, and Al and I agreed smaller is definitely better, I guess, for everyone in terms of carry, but I'm pretty petite, and the 380s, that was kind of the category that we were thinking would be the good fit for me, and I was concerned about recoil and such, so when we rented three different ones a while back, the car P380 was the winner of the ones tested, and I wasn't convinced then that that was the gun for me, but it was definitely the best of the day. And then we went to a ladies' shoot event, and they had the car there, and I retried it and still really liked it. And I haven't really shot since then, but
if you listen to episodes 3 and 4, those more fully detail her trips with the lady shoot and the testing out the 380s.
I'm not sure what the tipping point was, but we both have kind of gotten in our head that that's probably the best for me.
The tipping point for me was, you know, I could use it until you get your CCW permit. I could use it as either a backup or pocket carry pistol in the summer months, or just when I'm not feeling like carrying around a 1911. You know, I haven't felt that way ever. I love having that 1911 on my waistband. So, but you know, I thought it would be, you know, a fine addition to our collection. So, what we ended up doing was calling a couple of the local gun shops around our area and getting a price on it. And tell you the truth, it was hard to find it for a good price around here, so we ended up doing a little bit of driving and found it at a different gun store.
It's where we rented the P380 the first time, but it's just a little bit further drive than what's immediately, like, in our backyard, so to speak.
And they were quite a bit under the suggested retail price, and And some of the places around here, honestly, were at the retail price, the manufacturer's suggested retail price, which, as most of the experienced gun owners will know, that's you never pay that price. You're always way under that, you know, for new guns even. So I decided to buy the gun, you know, with the long-term goal, perhaps, of Dagny using it from time to time and getting a carry permit with it. But for now, it would be my firearm.
And it's also what would stay at home with me if I was out running around. It would be the home defense weapon, unless he chose to carry it and leave the 1911 home with me. But there's now at least some protection at home for me.
Right. So that's our exciting news for the day. We ended up picking up gun number two, the CAR P380. That was very exciting. We haven't shot it yet. We haven't.
We haven't even gotten the ammo for it yet.
Yeah, we don't have ammo for it yet. So obviously, we got to prove that it's reliable before we let before I leave Dagny with it at home. And you know, so but hey, we really looking forward to that. I'm gonna probably talk a little bit more of that maybe in a future episode. Let you know how reliable it is. I know Carr recommends a 200 round break-in period. So. The first 200 rounds, I'm keeping my expectations low, you know, expecting some failures. And hopefully after 200 rounds of ball are fed through there, it'll be as reliable as the 1911 or something.
And if you listen to the third episode, you know I'm excited to see if it's going to feed out and hit me in the forehead or not.
Right. We're going to hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. But it's a neat 380 to tell you a little bit more about it. I got it right here. It's a nice little black box. And it comes with two magazines. It comes with a flush fit 6-round magazine, and you can also plus one in the chamber. So if you carry with one in the chamber, as you know, I don't because I'm a wuss. but this will carry 6 plus 1, so meaning 6 rounds of 380 ammo in the magazine plus one in the chamber if you want. And it's a double action only, meaning the pulling the trigger back is all you need to do. It's a long trigger pull. And it'll go off, and there's no external safeties like on the 1911, no thumb safety. So you can just feel how smooth it is. There you go. Beautiful audio there. and it comes with a second magazine that has an additional one round. So it's a 7-round magazine, and it allows for a little bit of extra grip for your pinky. So for me and even Dagny, your pinky can get around this. So
yeah, I don't need the extended to get my pinky all the way around it. It's kind of half on, half off, depending on how tight and high up I'm holding it.
Magazine.
Yeah, with the flush fit. But for Al, that extended makes all the difference in the grip for him
this one. It gives you an extra round. I get my pinky around it. I don't have very large hands, but I do, you know, the grip on the 1911, the 3-inch 1911, the Smith that I have is perfect. You know, I can get all four fingers of my right hand on it, and my thumb wraps around it, of course, my fifth finger. I know how many fingers I have on my hands, folks. but the pinky wraps around perfectly. So the car, that little grip extension with that extra round is perfect. Not as good as the Smith, but enough that I can really get a nice grip around the firearm. So I think I could even get away with carrying it with that grip extension. Dagny might not be able to, just by virtue of it does add a little bit of grip length to it. I'd say about, what would you say that is, about half an inch
to 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah.
It also isn't as wide as the grip, if that makes sense. It's flush in the front of the grip where your fingers would wrap around, but in the back end where your thumb wraps around, there's that little gap, and I feel like that's just an additional spot where it could catch on clothing when I'm trying to carry or, whatever. So for me, it would all be the situation. I suppose if I'm wearing a hoodie, it's not as big of a deal, but more form-fitting clothing, it's just a hindrance, I would think.
So it comes with a trigger lock. I don't think we'll be using that. It comes with the instructions and whatnot, but other than that, that's pretty much all it came with is brand new, wrapped up, and it wasn't one of the display guns, which was really nice. The guy, the salesman that sold it to us, actually went in the back and pulled out about 4 or 5 different boxes of car P380s and had my pick of the litter. And when you give me my pick, I'll kind of look through all of them and see which one I like the best. So this is the one that I picked out of the four or five given to me. So,
and it's a two-tone. The slide is
stainless steel. Matte stainless steel. Yeah.
But was it the other thing, that matte matchbox? Or
pardon?
The finish or something? You said yours isn't even... It's...
Oh, there's a match grade barrel. There you go. There's a Walther or something like that. Match grade barrel, meaning that it's very accurate for a 380 in particular. You know, there's not a lot of sight radius there. Maybe less than 4 inches. You know, from the front of the muzzle to the rear of the slide. You know, so but the sights are pretty good. You know, they're pretty good for a little 380. You know,
and we didn't go. Al was really. He's thinking, if I have it at home and there would be an invader or something and I needed it, I would want night sights. And
we didn't get night sights.
We didn't. And it's not to discount that threat, but for me, it came down for me carrying again. There's not a lot of time. I mean, I don't know that I've ever been alone overnight since we've been together and married. I mean, we're always together.
Yeah.
Not to rely on Al, but, you know, those... For practical everyday carry, once again, the night sights stand up significantly higher on the top of the gun. They're boxier.
Yeah.
And that was just another thing, again, that I thought would snag on stuff and make me less inclined to want to carry when I'm ready to carry.
Right. This particular firearm, I think, is sort of the base model of the Carr P380. They also come in a nitron finish, which is basically just the steel becomes black. And then they also have the tritium night sights. And tritium night sights, tritium, I think, is actually radioactive. That's why it kind of glows in the dark. And it doesn't last forever, but it sure makes it real convenient to pick up the sights in pitch darkness. And from the research I've read, you know, most of these encounters where you have to use your firearm occur in the dark. So... tritium night sights are something that a lot of people abide by, but like she said, with this small 380 concealability and being able to draw it without it snagging on whatever article of clothing you have to get it past, the tritium night sights, just by virtue of them being taller, standing up a little bit higher than these sights that it came with, it might snag and might, you know, seconds count in these types of situations. So we're hoping that we both get comfortable enough with this firearm that we can kind of just know the point of aim and kind of get used to it, so that even in the darkness we know what we're aiming at. And obviously one of the rules of firearm safety is be aware of your target and what's beyond it. So you're not going to be shooting at shadowy figures in the dark unless you're absolutely certain that it's someone who's going to do you really bad harm. So,
and with all this talk about carry, it'll be down the line. I'm sure I'll have stuff to say about my carry options and what I think of the different ones. I'm not there yet, but I've already started, you know, looking into what my viable options are, and it's going to be different for a woman than for a man, for sure, with the clothing styles you wear, especially when I'm not just in jeans and a hoodie.
Right.
And I can foresee me having multiple carry options, definitely wanting that because of skirts or dresses or, you know, so there will be future episode on that for sure.
That's a really good point we want to talk about a little bit maybe, is finding a location for the female to carry every day. For me, appendix carry works, and it works pretty well for me. Dagny can probably carry it, appendix carry as well, or cross draw, as I was going to say. But we're even thinking about, we saw some holsters that even fit kind of underneath your bra for women, and that is a particular idea that we might want to pursue and follow through with. I know I saw something at SHOT Show about that, but you know, for a location, it's going to be really important for Dagny to be able to carry it comfortably and concealed, you know, deep concealment, because, you know, we are professionals, and we just need to make sure that, you know, it's never printing or anything like that.
Yeah, and from that standpoint, I almost always wear pants, even in the summer. I'm not big on shorts,
mm-hmm.
So I'm not opposed in theory to the idea of an ankle holster, but I don't know how secure it would feel and if it would rattle around or anything. So those are all things that I'll explore and share with you when I get my CPL or, you know, CCW, whatever.
That was another thing we were going to do is once this gun is proven reliable, she'll take her class with it. I think she might just enjoy, you know, the ultimate test will be that CCW class. Hopefully it'll be 100% reliable in it. And that's another reason why I want to break it in. I don't want her to go through her growing pains with a gun that hasn't been broken in yet. Now, if you listen to my early podcast, my Smith 1911, I never fired it until I fired it in my CCW class, and thankfully it functioned 100%. But these 380s have a reputation of kind of being real finicky, and sometimes you get a great one, but sometimes you get one that have all sorts of kind of problems. At least that's what I'm reading on the forums, and I know you take all that with a grain of salt, but just want to be prepared, I guess, is what we want to do. And confidence is everything in these types of most every area of life, right? But so I want to be confident in this firearm. So
that was the exciting news, was the Carr P380, and then we almost left with doubly exciting news.
Yeah, we almost left with guns 2 and 3 because we rented a Glock 19 Generation 4. So that was, you know, It's a gun that keeps coming up amongst all these videos, podcasts I'm watching. They either carry the 17, which is the full size 9mm, or the 19, which is sort of the mid sized, but carrying, you know, people can carry that 19. And the Glock 19 is a 9mm firearm with 15 rounds of 9mm in the magazine. You can do plus one again as well, so have one in the chamber.
And to just give you an idea of how serious we were considering leaving with it, they have a program where you can get, you know, a certain number of bullets with the gun for like a fee. We bought a box.
Yeah, you can either get 10 rounds and shoot them out that way, or you can rent the gun and buy a box of ammo. And that's what we ended up doing. We bought 50 rounds of 115 grain Remington UMC 9mm, and we shot the whole box, and I shot it and loved it. It was nice. There's almost no recoil that I felt, at least. It shot pretty much, you know, you keep hearing about Glocks having a different grip angle, but I felt like I got it felt kind of familiar with the 1911, a little bit different, maybe a little bit lower wrist break action, but meaning you kind of point your wrist a little bit downwards, but I really liked it. Very comfortable. I don't know if I suppose I could carry it, but I was viewing that as more of a truly home defense weapon that either Dagny or myself could use with confidence. And the fact that it has 15 rounds in it is very comforting to me. And as opposed to 7 rounds of 45 or 6 to 7 rounds of 380.
Was it 10 or 15?
Huh?
Was it 10 or 15?
Which one? The Glock?
The Glock, yeah.
Glock had 15 rounds.
Wow, yeah. I didn't realize that.
When I was putting in rounds 10 through 15, it got harder, progressively harder, to the point where 14 and 15, the hand loading, it was pretty difficult to do, but I did do it. But yeah, 100% reliability is what you hear about Glock, and we had no problems with any of the rounds, right, out of that box of 50.
No problems. I finished it off with 10. Mm-hmm. I kept wanting me to, you know, do it. And the experience was good for me.
Your accuracy was good?
The accuracy was good. Our targets were pretty impressive. The center was about shot completely away. Mm-hmm. When we left, we just had 2 targets for the Glock and his 1911. My only complaint was the grips have these nubby, and they're kind of spiky where your fingers wrap around, and then in the back too.
The front strap.
And the
back strap.
It's good. It's not slippery, but I had marks. I mean, it was really biting into me to the point that, like, I wouldn't want to go to the range and, you know, play with it too much.
Take your CCW class with it.
Yeah,
right?
I wouldn't. Going into it, I'm like, well, I don't really care which one we buy tonight if we're not going to get both. I can take the class with the Glock, and then after that, I wouldn't have wanted to do the Glock for the class. With those, I don't know if, I mean, the grips even, you can't change that part of it, so.
Nope. You can change, in the Gen 4, you can change out the back straps, but the kind of the texture, which seems to be what you had the problem with, would still be the same. It's kind of a coarse, ripply, kind of bumpy texture. And they were kind of leaving marks on Dagny's hands. They're kind of grooved out, kind of like hoe grips, meaning like you kind of they're kind of curved for your finger path.
Mm-hmm.
That worked for me fine. It's a little bit wider and a little bit longer than the 3-inch 1911, and for that you get the double ammunition of 9mm. But I guess it was a matter of peer pressure and the fact that every video seems to promote the wonderfulness of Glock, and everything I read about it is it's so durable and so reliable. I just I foresee a Glock 19 in my future. Just wasn't to be this week. Maybe next. So that was exciting, and I actually shot some more Remington Golden Saber plus P ammo. You might remember I was looking for a carry magazine flush fitting for my 1911 and ended up really enjoying the Chip McCormick match grade 7-round flush fit magazine. And I ended up buying a couple more of those magazines and trying all 3 magazines out yesterday. Through those 3 magazines 2 times each with fully loaded with Remington Golden Saber plus P's, and I had no failures. So far so good with the Chip McCormick rounds, with the Chip McCormick magazines, excuse me, using the plus P rounds. The frame still looks good. I probably run, let's see, maybe 150 rounds of plus P Golden Saber ammo through this. I know that you're not really supposed to do that with these aluminum scandium frames. They're a little bit tougher than your normal 3-inch 1911. But so far, knock on wood, it's been 100, you know, nothing, no structural damage that I can think of. And the springs look good. I got to clean it tonight. I'll let you know. But that whole thing you hear about people saying, hey, don't shoot a lot of plus P ammo through these 3-inch 1911s. I don't know. So far, so good is all I can say. As you remember, I want that plus P ammo because it has that 3-inch barrel. I'm losing a little bit of velocity out of the, you know, typical 5-inch barrel, 4 1/4-inch barrel that you're getting that 45 through in a 1911. You know, this 3-inch barrel is basically a snub-nosed 1911, right? So I wanted a little bit of extra velocity that I'm losing because I'm losing that barrel length. So. Yep, Chip McCormick still rocking it, and was real happy with that. Getting more and more accurate too. I think we both shot the very best we've ever shot, and I think we're getting to say that every time we go to the range, and that's awesome. The constant improvement. With my 1911, I got everything in the red area. So I don't know. It was a very fun trip, a very productive trip. It's exciting. We doubled our firearm collection. I got to do some research now. I think I'm leaning towards for the card, for defense ammunition. I'm going to stick with the Golden Saber family. There's 102 grain 380 hollow point out there that Golden Saber makes, that Remington makes. And I think we should buy a couple boxes of that and make sure that can feed through. But I think maybe I'll wait till after we put 200 rounds through the car with regular ball ammo, maybe just Winchester white box or something. Make sure that kind of breaks it in, and then before we start feeding expensive hollow point in there. And 380 is still pretty expensive. I think in some places, like at Walmart, I think it's even more expensive than 45, which kind of boggles my mind. But you know, those are the 2 calibers we're in now, 45 and 380, and I'm excited from the big bore to the little bore. You know, we got the Spectrum cover, now we got to fill the middle in a little bit with 9mm and whatnot. Maybe a revolver, huh?
Yeah, we'll see where it takes us. We'll see where we go.
So what else? Anything else?
No, I'm just excited about holsters and figuring out how I'll carry.
Yeah, ladies. Nothing to say please right now. Please send us an email, ccwpodcast@gmail.com. Where do you carry? How do you carry? What holster do you use, even if you don't mind us learning that? Because we'd really like to know. I mean, Dagny needs to find some place where she can carry every day and be comfortable with
and
it.
And I've never considered purse. Absolutely is going to have to be on my body, on my person. I don't like purses.
She's often without it.
Yeah, I will set it down. You know it's safe where it is, but I know not the place to have a weapon for me.
Nope, definitely not. Yep. So with that, just to give you a heads up, I kind of want to do another a later future podcast on some of the emails that we've gotten. Quick shout out to Tom in Texas and Ross in Nebraska for sending emails. We've had a little bit of a dialogue with each of them, and very appreciate that. And we're very nice to have good people listening. So send the emails, keep them sending. I want to do another podcast on, maybe I mentioned it before on some of the past episodes, is kind of gunfighting and using a firearm as a martial art, and kind of the parallels that I see in that. And maybe we can discuss that a little bit on a future episode. So that's something to look forward to. Other than that, we've gone professional. We got more bandwidth for y'all. So I'm actually spending some money on this. What turned out to be a little, it's free. Just try it out. Let me just try it out. It won't cost anything. So now we got some money behind it. So
A month in.
Yeah. So now I got to actually, follow through with this thing. So glad you guys are taking part in this journey with us. And, you know what I can talk about? I've listened to the first couple episodes again, and there are a lot of errors in there. You know, a lot of errors that kind of bugged me. Bugged me enough to actually listen to them again and take notes and kind of point out what I wanted to say. You know, this is kind of the Easter egg episode because in episode one, for instance, I call everyone readers and viewers rather than listeners. I think I mentioned that in another podcast, but that kind of bugged me. So sorry about that. I know you all are listeners. You can't read me or view me on a podcast unless we do it in video or an ebook. And I noticed that I blew the letter P anytime I said that. That sounded kind of funny on the podcast. I think that was just because I was really nervous and kind of expelling my...
I'm getting used to our recording device.
Yeah, there you go. That too. Yeah.
The settings and all.
I noticed that I sound really nasally. Huh? I hope that's not how I really sound. But
he's hoping that's the recording device.
this recording device is very good, but I think it's picking up or enhancing the nasality of my voice. Is that a word? I speak very deeply. Come on. Give me... Anyways, I sound nasally, and I apologize for that. If you are struggling with my nasal voice, I'm going to try to work on it, I guess. Too many ahs and searching for words. I think that's just a virtue of me still trying to find my voice and still trying to, you know, the first few episodes and even this episode, a lot of it is kind of stream of consciousness, and just we don't have a strict outline. Perhaps we should, but I think the lack of the strict outline kind of provides us a free-form dialogue that I hope listeners would like.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, thank you. And in episode two, there's a really loud crash.
That would be me.
That's Dagny. She dropped, what did you drop?
I was cooking, and I opened a cupboard, and a big roasting pan fell out.
Yeah, I feel like if I was listening to these podcasts and I had no idea what was going on, and I heard that loud crash, I'd probably want to know what that was all about. So that's what that was. And I made a comment in episode two about caliber, and the 45 in particular, and I said that caliber equals inches, basically. And just to clarify that, I meant the 45 caliber is 0.45 inches. I don't know if I made that perfectly clear, but that's what I meant. And then if you're talking about millimeter, to get that into roughly caliber, you'd multiply it by 4. So 9 millimeter is roughly times 4, and then doing the math is 0.36 caliber. Just an FYI. I don't know if that's informative to you. You all might know that, but you can also hear Dagny cooking in the background of episode 2 if you listen closely.
I'm chopping some vegetables.
Yeah, chop, chop, chop. So just a little background on that. I don't know if any of that interests you all, but one last thing. On episode 2, the Remington Golden Saber plus PMO, I said went out of a 5-inch barrel at 1,170 feet per second. That's the 185 grain. I was wrong. That's actually 1,140 feet per second, not 1,170. No, it's not a big deal, but I want to provide as accurate as information as I possibly can, and if I do notice an error, I'll point it out. So, episode 3, I didn't see anything or hear anything. Episode 4, there's a really big sneeze, and I apologize for that. I really should learn how to edit these darn things. I shouldn't leave me sneezing and having a few awkward seconds of silence on my podcast, or our podcast, sorry. But other than that, I think that was it. Thank you for listening. Do you have any exiting...
No, just thanks to everybody. We thought that we'd end up upgrading, but we didn't have any idea that it would be this soon.
Honestly, we haven't done any advertising or anything, so wow, you know, thank you for finding us, because...
I think what sealed it, really, is we got up this morning, and we can see a little bit, total downloads, not a breakdown or anything, and we haven't uploaded anything since the cap on the bandwidth had reset, and we were already how far into it for the month.
Yeah, we were already at half of the bandwidth limit, and I hadn't had any...
No new episodes,
and so it's amazing.
So, thanks for the support and the listenership.
Yes, thank you very much, and I'm humbled, we're humbled, and thank you. But that's it, so stay tuned. Thanks.
Bye.